Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Simcast. I'm Matt Hunter. I have no idea what episode it is. Seven, maybe?
I think it's seven. I think you're right.
So that's seven. So that is... The Force Awakens. It's easy.
Yes.
Or Generations.
Which means our next episode is going to deeply divide everyone. So good luck, Ben.
Hang on, does that mean we're changing the director?
And the plot.
Sorry, Tim.
Next week, we're going to talk about crochet. Or a British show.
No!
We can do that. I can get Steph on. She'll happily talk about that.
The crochet radio show on RS1.
I don't think a crochet radio show would work very well. That is very much a visual art form. And as you can see, as you can hear from this beautiful shawl that I'm currently wearing,
you should only kind of do it as an ASMR thing, and even now I think it's not going to work very well.
Sounds scratchy.
Welcome to the Simcast. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
No, we don't. He lies.
Oh, we don't. Not on our show.
Not on this one. We are the light relief, not the light brigade.
No.
Puns to the left of them, puns to the right of them. Volleyed and thundered. That was a bit highbrow. Charge the light brigade. Brilliant.
Anyway, that'll be it. Brilliant.
I got the reference.
Couldn't tell you, actually. Yeah, the stupid thing is whilst I know the original, the actual version that I remember in my head is the version I heard on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, dear. Oh, why am I not surprised?
On the show last week, ladies and gentlemen, we are a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
It is true.
I actually have Deep Space Nine on a shelf next to me.
Well, there you go.
Along with the Enterprise A. There's a cross-generational platform for you.
Is that the Canadian Enterprise?
Oh, the Enterprise A?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Very...
Not even going to dignify that.
Technically, William Shatner is Canadian, so...
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he actually?
He's born in Canada.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Huh. The more you know...
The less you want to...
Oh, we're on such a tangent already.
You can tell.
We haven't even introduced me or Ben yet.
As you can tell, we're making the best of this. Oh, goodness me. I'm Matt Hunter. Alongside me, as usual, is Mr. Jordan Groves.
Hello.
And the usurper that you have heard in the background is Mr. Ben Williams, because, frankly, he just can't stay away.
No.
I don't know if that's flatulence or a very bad music board, but whatever.
It was quieter than anticipated.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Anyway,
goodness me. Should you wish to comment on this madness, you can do so at our Twitter, which is @SimcastRadio, #SimcastRSL. And you could also talk to us on the RSL Listeners Collective on the Facebook space.
The Facebook. How old are you?
Hang on.
All I'm gonna say
36.
Let's cut his arm off and then count the rings. Oh.
Yes. I did have a teacher in high school who
well marbled
refer to it like as beef. My face.
My face. which is for obviously legal reasons, is the version that they used on the IT Crowd.
She was watching the IT Crowd.
Along with Kook Cola, because obviously.
Yeah.
A refreshing can of Kook. Excellent show.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't at all. Let's move on swiftly.
Ben, that's not what we call it. Ben, that's not what we call it in our house. Would you like a sip of? Yeah, okay.
No.
Moving swiftly on before we get taken off air. Goodness me. We actually have things to talk about, because it's actually... Well, the first thing we'll talk about is hardware, because I know there's two of you who are... No, can't go there either. Who got rather excited.
Thrustmaster wheel.
Yes, Thrustmaster wheel.
Yes.
Talk about the Thrustmaster wheel.
I want to say hardware and you two getting excited about... Yeah, okay.
I'm just going to start talking and hope that sentence ends. As listeners might have been used to last year, we kind of had a repeating thing, you know, around the Assetto Corsa Competizione, and whenever that DLC would be released. Our new recurring theme every week is going to be this wheel, the Thrustmaster wheel that we don't really know the name of yet, but we're all assuming that it's basically a Ferrari replica F1 steering wheel from last year. And until any of us get it in our hands, we're not going to have an episode without talking about it, most likely. This time, our excuse to talk about it is that Thrustmaster, much to the joy of myself and Ben and probably loads of other Thrustmaster users out there, and Lewis, yeah, he uses Thrustmaster. But Matt, you're the odd one out. Come on.
I don't care.
Matt's over the corner being a fanatic elitist.
I do have...
Fancy wheel.
The Fanatec Master Race. I do have... Yes, but I do have Thrustmaster equipment here.
Yeah, but if you can do a lap with your flight stick, then
I bet you could.
Yeah, I think I've managed to do one with a joystick, so I think having the actual...
You've done one with Thomas the Tank Engine, I think.
Yeah, so anything's possible, really, is what I'm trying to say.
Got a point.
But before we go down that particular rabbit hole, yes, Thrustmaster confirmed that this new steering wheel rim will work for the T300RS, the TX, the TSXW, the TSPC, and the TGT wheelbases. So most likely, if you have a Thrustmaster wheelbase, this rim is going to work.
Yeah,
hell yes.
That's basically the entire Thrustmaster base catalog.
I am so excited for it. I've got to think that the fact that they're bringing it out for these wheelbases means that we aren't going to have like some kind of limited functionality on some bases. It's going to have to work across all of them. Yeah. So we get an LED screen and shift indicators.
That is quite
cool. I'm assuming that we're going to probably have some cord coming out of the back of the wheel, like a direct drive rim.
Oh, yeah, that might be a thing. Yeah.
Because given how much limited information that you get on, like, the rim that I have, the TX, I basically only have 9 buttons at a given time. So I would assume that we would need some type of additional hardware to be able to use all of the functionality that the LCD screen
have. I don't know. I think they might just have that updated into the actual Thrustmaster software instead. I think if you've got a button, it will work. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I mean, in fairness, if you compare it to the Fanatec range, the endurance module that they have, the Porsche GT3R wheel, initially all the functionality and everything, additional screen functionality for that was with the podium hub only, but that's because all the funkiness is in the hub as opposed to in the wheel or anything. So if they built it in, depending on how the wheel is constructed, it's feasible. It's all in the wheel anyway.
That's true. Yeah, you make a good point. Yeah, I can't wait to get this.
Do they have Do they have a DD system?
Thrustmaster, no.
No.
Not yet. There were rumours that this wheel would be released in conjunction with a DD wheelbase, but it doesn't look like that's the case, because the marketing has featured it on a number of different wheelbases rather than hiding the wheelbase as well. So,
yeah. I still think that we're probably going to have a digital cable to plug in, just because of the wide variety of bases that this will be available for, especially ranging in ages.
No, but what we're saying is that the thing to make it work could be in the wheel rim rather than the base, so you wouldn't need that extra cable if it's already integrated into the wheel. So we'll see anyway. It's kind of, we don't really know anything other than where some of the switches are, so it'll be interesting to see. I can see a clutch pedal, though. That makes me excited.
God, Bennett.
My wallet is not excited.
Can we Can we talk about R Factor?
Yes, we can.
Because they've just released their February roadmap.
Yes, and I'm excited for one thing, and I think you know why.
Is it a Formula E circuit?
It is a Formula E circuit, yes.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I didn't actually realise, because we've obviously in the eSports Roundup of the Week, insert the jingle there, we've been talking about the Formula E Accelerate series. And the last time we commented on it, I said at the end that the series will be returning in about a week or so with Diria. And in my head, I didn't click the fact, well, hang on, we haven't got Diria yet, so that must mean it's coming. And yes, they have confirmed that the Diria E-Prix circuit will be releasing. I believe it's either the end of this week or the beginning of next. So, yeah. And having watched the Formula E last weekend, it's a hell of a track. It's so different from what you think a Formula E track should be in terms of, you know, the speed of the corners, blind, really fast apexes. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be great.
I mean, we won't talk about the what was really going on in the skies above the circuit because unnecessary, but...
Really, really good fireworks. Yes. The other thing that they...
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. The other thing that they've also teased is that there will be another track coming to R Factor 2 later this month. All they've said so far is that it's a racetrack with an undulating layout. Now, people are immediately speculating Portimao, which would be awesome.
Yes.
But yeah, that would be that'd be exciting to see what that is as well.
That's actually an understatement for Portimao. Particularly the third sector.
Well, undulating.
Goodness
yeah,
me.
No, it's mountainous. It's not undulating. Yeah.
It is a fantastic. I'm actually really. Do you know? I'm actually really pleased that Formula One's going back there this year.
Definitely, definitely. Because the racing they managed to put on with the cars as limited as they are in terms of racing already, and they managed to put on a good show. So,
and I mean, to be honest, even like it's actually weirdly, it's a very good circuit for bikes. But I have to say, I think for multi-class, obviously because LMES goes there.
And WEC is going there in next month, I believe.
Yes, they are.
That'll be good.
Which is good. And again, technically not the first time that series has been there. Because the precursor went.
Yes, you're right.
Went there. I remember watching the race and seeing the load of Aston Martin win. But we digress. Fantastic circuit. Needs to be in more games in an official
hopefully
capacity.
That is the one, because that R Factor 2's, as I'm discovering now that I'm playing it more, is really good, and that will look amazing in R Factor.
Yeah. I haven't ventured into that in VR yet, because I think that would be terrifying. Not terrifying, but...
Oh, that'd be so cool.
It's going to play with my head a little bit, I think.
Speaking of things that might be slightly scary, there is another little bit of R Factor 2 news, isn't there?
There is, but... That news seems to have disappeared.
Yeah, as far as we're aware, this news is official, but it was put up and then taken down. But
yes,
it's got an official statement in there. So we at the moment, let's treat it as likely, but
yes,
not necessarily confirmed. Basically, the Thanos of sim racing has amassed another Infinity Stone. Motorsport Games has acquired Studio 397, the studio behind R Factor 2. Now, frequent listeners of the show.
That is actually a terrifying metaphor, because theoretically they'll get the ones they want, click their fingers, and all the rest of the developers.
And then 50% will leave.
Yes. Hopefully there's a particular NASCAR game in that 50%. But
yes.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Motorsport Games seems to be just kind of. I know what Matt just said, but it seems to be pretty apt description of that they're the Thanos of sim racing, because they just keep using their money and collecting things.
Getting more and more. Yeah, it's like it's Motorsport Games and EA at the moment seem to be trying to see who can get the most of sim racing.
I never thought I'd see a situation where I was actually rooting for EA.
Rooting for EA.
Well, that's awkward.
But, yeah. We should say that, as I said with the EA's acquisition of Codemasters, it might not necessarily be a bad thing, because the studios are still the ones actually making the games. So Studio 397 will still be making R Factor 2, so long as Motorsport Games don't pull the plug, which I can't see why they would, considering how popular it is. I can still see it as being a good thing, and Motorsport Games might be able to inject even more money into it, so it could be good. In my mind, this makes a lot of sense, considering that Motorsport Games, aren't they the ones behind the promotion of Le Mans Esports?
Yes, they are now. That was a couple weeks ago that we talked about that.
I was going to say, I actually think we predicted this.
Yeah, it makes sense when you think about it, that Motorsport Games has the exclusive license to promote a 24-hour race at the Le Mans track.
So yeah,
so
just,
it kind of makes
just
sense that they would, they would try to gobble up the game where, that event took place on last year.
Let's just hope that I'm trying to be positive. I think that, this will be a good thing, so long as Motorsport Games leave Studio 397 to their devices and just chuck them some dosh, give them some other licenses if they own them for other tracks and circuits and series, and then yeah, just because R Factor 2 is on a resurgence, I would say. So.
Or Studio 397 might be valving this BTCC game that we keep hearing about.
That is a very good point.
They do have links, considering they officially added the Honda BTCC FK, the original FK to Civic years ago.
Mm-hmm. By Jove, I had not considered that at all.
Yes,
I mean it would be epic, but this is the Motorsport Corporation.
Yeah, so they'll 100% get the NASCAR Heat Evolution guys to do it.
This is the Fox News of Motorsport.
Oh,
oof.
Hey, at least I didn't say Newsmax, which is probably just as accurate.
We're not going to be getting anyone from Motorsport Games on anytime soon, are
we? No, we're not.
At the moment, I don't want them. I'd rather have Slightly Mad Studios on.
Anyone from Motorsport Games, if you would like to come on, please drop me a message on Twitter. Don't go to Matt. He's probably
Matt for the hard questions. You go to Jordan for these. So, what's your favourite colour?
So if I could direct us back to the conversation real quick. From what I remember about Motorsport Games talking about the BTCC game, and I'm ignoring you, Matt, they were very focused on making it much more of a sim than Heat was.
They also never announced a developer.
Maybe
this is what they were working to.
But they said that there was stuff in the happening, but they never said who the developer was.
Yeah. Maybe that was the stuff that was in the happening, them finding a developer.
Yeah. This is what we want to put in a game. We don't know who's going to do it.
It'll be interesting. It'll certainly be interesting. I'm cautiously optimistic, which I think is exactly what I said about EA and Codemasters. So we'll see. There are two timelines that could happen, one really good and one really bad.
Yes.
In the Motorsports multiverse at this point.
While we're talking about those people, they've also, I believe, acquired the developers of Kartcraft as well.
Yeah, we missed this a couple of weeks ago. Apparently they picked up the developer for Kartcraft and formed a new Motorsport Games Australia development team.
Why?
They really need to work on an acronym. It's a bit of a confusing one. I didn't necessarily see that one coming, but
the acronym for that is MGAT.
MGAT.
I mean, it could be a lot worse, but.
But yeah, that would be interesting because the two leading kind of kart simulators out there are Kartcraft, which I personally don't really like as much.
That tended to be Kartcraft.
And R Factor 2 has the kart sim mod, which I would be happy to recommend that over Kartcraft. So it'll be interesting to see if they merge.
Are there more tracks in kart sim?
Yes, at the moment I believe so, and they're kind of more famous circuits as well, because Kartcraft's got like PF, but Kart Sim has got Buckmore Park and several other well-known ones. So in my view, obviously it's kind of a matter of opinion or personal taste, Kart Sim's physics are better than Kartcraft, and that ultimately is what comes down to. Kartcraft looks better, but Kart Sim drives a lot better.
Kartcraft seems to be the what's the most words of kart games from the world.
I wouldn't put it down that much.
I'm just reviewing the Steam page because I've never heard of this game before, honestly. They talk about their laser scan tracks, they talk about full customization of karts.
Customization isn't as good as Forza. Would say there's lots of different manufacturers of kart you can get, and lots of different suits and brands of helmet, but I would still say, like, the paint booth of Forza is the best customization in any racing game. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it down as far, like, in terms of driving, the actual important thing about a sim racing title. I would put Kartcraft nowhere near Forza, into like the other direction. Kartcraft is so much better.
Yeah, we noted. Okay. You learn something new every day here on the Simcast. Sure.
Yeah, we are educational.
Oh, dear Lord. Mm-hmm. Desperate times to call for magic. Should we talk about... we need to talk about a bit of a very content-y show today. Yeah.
There's a lot.
let's briefly touch on AMS 2.
Yes. So, as I mentioned, I think, a couple of shows ago, the Spa 1993 has been released, and that is free content for owners who... for people who bought the original Spa DLC, so the modern version. From what I've seen, I haven't yet played it yet, but from what I've seen, it looks really, really good. They've got it spot on with what I've seen of footage from the era. Obviously, I wasn't quite alive then, but it looks right. And also
shut up, the pair of you.
We can't go through one show without making Matt feel really old. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Matt being really old, there's some period cars for him to drive here as well. The Sauber C9 and the Porsche 962 have now also been added to the game. As well as the 1999 Stock Car Brazil Opel Omega series, which apparently is really, really fun. So I'm going to have to give that a go. I think it's some kind of almost Super Tourer-ish kind of thing.
It's basically the Lotus Carlton.
Oh, right. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to give that a go.
The problem is yet again, it's a lot of content that was in Project Cars 2.
The 93 layout wasn't. They had a historic Spath, which was the really, you know, the terrifying, like, 1960s version. I don't believe they had an era that was around 93. So, but yeah, like the Sauber C9, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was in the game as well. So, I think it's not like they are just porting Project Cars 2 stuff in, because the physics are being reworked. Whether they're better or not, that's a different argument. I would say they're close. Others would say they're not. So, there is a question of, you know, efficacy when it comes to charging for content that was basically in the previous game, but still, AMS2 is really good. Maybe it's worth it.
Speaking of paying a lot of money for things, iRacing has got... Let's not beat around the bush. It's quite expensive. although I have just done the 2 years for 25% off.
Yeah, that was a good deal. It's nice to see them doing stuff that's not just Black Friday for a change.
Yes, that was well timed as well. So they've released a trailer image, which if you squinted really hard, I thought they were showing us a new McLaren, and then I actually looked at the proper picture and went, "Oh no, it's Hockenheim." So the circuit that we've kind of been expecting has been teased for a good little while. Looks like it's finally coming.
Mm-hmm.
Next week,
Crystal Dirt as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, literally, just as for once they timed news correctly, so we could cover it. Who knew? That as Ben mentioned, they've just confirmed that Bristol Dirt will also be available with the next season 2 build, which will be deployed on Tuesday, March 9th. So, Hockenheim, kind of... Bristol Dirt, the new super late model. That's some of the stuff confirmed
kind of
so far.
Knew the Bristol Dirt was coming because it's on the calendar for that.
Yeah.
NASCAR All-Star Series.
Yeah, and at least I'm glad that they're not going to have that event like be on a build that isn't available to the public, which I think is what they did for North Wilkesboro. Initially, I believe North Wilkesboro followed very soon after, but I believe that with the timing of the series last year, they had to have North Wilkesboro kind of behind closed doors first. So it's good that they're releasing. I can't wait to try that.
Trying to remember, was it that they had the event there and then announced that it'll be in the game tomorrow during the race?
Something like, I believe you're right. Yeah. Which was cool. But yeah, Bristol Dirt, that's going to be terrifying. I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it, I have to say. It's a good circuit.
Yeah.
One of our other favourite games, Race Room. They're adding the. I think we might have. No, we didn't. I think we've just been. We've
yeah,
just
I
been
talked
talking
about this
about
last
it.
Week.
WTCR 2020 DLC yep. is now available. What's cool about this, of course, is that you can still buy pretty much the whole kit and caboodle, every single bit of content that they've produced for the grand sum of slightly less than it has been before. £85 will buy you everything, which is over 127 cars, many circuits, all the layouts and drivers and yada, yada, yada.
And it sounds a lot, but when you, as we said before, when you compare it to iRacing, I dread to think how much that same amount of cars and tracks would cost on iRacing.
Quid,
you'd probably have to get a mortgage.
Probably about four, not even four tracks, probably three tracks and a bit. Yeah, you couldn't get the quantity of... in fact, well... Yeah, there aren't many games you get that quantity amount of DLC for that price.
No.
So that's
absolutely.
A very good value. And to be honest, Race Room is a very, very good game, and they certainly do touring cars justice. They do the classic DTM ones, and some of the circuits they've got. I know we've said this before, but they really are bang on. Now, I saw this on my Steam downloads, and a downloadable file for Assetto Corsa, the original.
Yeah, this is somewhat interesting. Yeah, Assetto Corsa got an official update, and immediately people were like, we don't really get much of that anymore. And eagle-eyed people were able to spot that a new folder had been added to the game directory in the cars section, and the folder is called BMW M2CS Racing. There's nothing in there at the moment, but it looks like they're gearing up to release some kind of car. Instantly, I was thinking of last year when Ferrari added their challenge car for an esports race. Yeah. I think it was the Hublot series. I think that's probably what we're seeing here, is that there's going to be some kind of event.
Wasn't that one only available for those who actually signed up for the series?
Yes. But everyone who signed up got it, so it was quite easy to get.
I signed up, went to the Discord, fully intended on doing it, saw some of the practice times from other people, went, no.
Left.
Thanks.
Yeah.
No.
Also, remember from that Ferrari series was that only people in Europe are allowed to compete, so none of the Americans got the files, or even the option.
Well, that's if you signed up in the right location. If you just put that you were from Europe, then you could get the file and then not take part. Not that I'm advocating that, but you know.
No, of course not.
Do,
no.
Obviously. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't dream of.
Jordan Gross would never say to sign up illegally for an event just so you can get a car.
It's not illegally. It's just mislaying the truth. So.
All right, Trump.
You know,
I believe Winston Churchill referred to it as being economical with the truth.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
But last thing, before we hit on one of our main topics of the day, I think you all know what it is. Dirt 5 is free to play from March 4th to the 8th, and has also recently joined Game Pass for Xbox and PC. So if you have that service, enjoy, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a go, because I've been... on the fence about whether to play Dirt 5, so I'll give it a go. I like the idea. This is why I miss demos. Do you remember game demos?
Yes, I had a wall of discs that I had to regularly throw out.
Yes, absolutely. I still remember playing a Wallace and Gromit game on a demo disc for PS2. That was great. But yeah, I like that they're doing this so that people like me who are on the fence about getting it can get it, because like if I've heard people say it's like Dirt 2, I've heard people say it's like Dirt 3. If it's like Dirt 3, I'll probably buy it, because Dirt 3 was fantastic. So yeah, that'd be cool.
Very cool. Speaking of things that are cool but I have no interest in, but I know YouTube, but I know YouTube kids do.
Are we referring to Hot Wheels?
I think he is.
Hot Wheels. So Jordan, you may lead the way.
Yeah, Hot Wheels, and not the news you might have been expecting, because obviously we had confirmed a couple of weeks ago that Forza Horizon was getting a Hot Wheels DLC, but now Hot Wheels have ditched the dead weight, it seems, and just released their own game. Well, not yet, anyway. And I don't mean that, because Horizon's great. Hot Wheels Unleashed. Not like Need for Speed or anything like that, will be launching on September 30th and is now available for pre-order. It's developed by Milestone, which I believe are the people behind many bike games. Yeah, I was struggling to think of which one, so that'll work. Yeah, so we don't really know too much. There's an announcement trailer, which is, it's Hot Wheels, so you can kind of assume what's going on. Lots of orange tracks, lots of flames, lots of, you know, trying to get your car out of the plasterboard when it goes through. No way, that's not in it.
Damaging your friend's shins.
That's a game mode. How many friends
watching
can you help
pop off and roll
down
across the floor?
So yeah, this looks like fun, and if it's basically like the Horizon 3 Hot Wheels expansion, but in its own game, that'd be cool. And yeah, that's probably the last we're going to talk about it, because it's not really, it's not really the sort of thing we cover on the show. But technically, it's racing.
Basically, it's this generation's Micro Machines V3. That's what we're basically saying.
What a game that was!
Oh. If it's anything
how
like
you remember,
the
Jordan, you must have been like 6 months old.
I wasn't born. It's this wonderful thing called the internet where you can go back and have a look at things before your time. No, I'm fairly sure my brother's played it. That's awesome. A hell of a game. Anyway, Hot Wheels Unleashed, arriving September 30th, and it will be available on PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series S and X, please say that very, very slowly, Nintendo Switch, and PC.
Everything. So basically everything.
No, not good, but not on Google Stadia.
It's not on. Oh, what a shame!
Hasn't the Stadia
been
killed?
People can't play it now.
I know, right? Damn. No, I'm pretty sure the Stadia it's been shut down.
I bet Grid's breathing a sigh of relief because it could have had some competition on the Stadia.
Well, actually, just before we go back, because we have just seen, Jordan's just messaged on the chat back because you know. Science.
We talk in the background.
We do. Like
mostly in
little children in the back of class. Jordan's actually just noticed we were talking about motorsport games a little bit while ago, and Jordan, they've actually just released the announcement, I believe.
Yeah. So we mentioned how the statement went up earlier today and then was deleted from whence it came. Literally in the last couple of seconds, as we're talking, they have confirmed that Motorsport Games has entered into a binding term sheet to acquire developer Studio 397 and its R-Factor 2 simulation platform. So it is now confirmed. Just having a skim through here, it's, you know, the usual we're excited to be entering this partnership kind of thing, as you would say. I didn't actually notice this. One of the people that's commented on the statement is Fernando Alonso, as he is a Motorsport Games shareholder.
Of course
I didn't know that. How interesting. but as they say here, we were talking earlier, or Ben mentioned rather, I didn't think of this, about the potential for Studio 397 working on the BTCC game. They do mention in the article here, this latest announcement from Motorsport Games follows a string of exciting developments, including the upcoming acquisition of Kartcraft, which we also just spoke about, and forthcoming games based upon 24-Hour Le Mans, British Touring Car, in addition to the company's existing NASCAR projects. Take umbrage at the last bit. They are amassing these things, and it's worrying. Like we've spoken, I know you have spoken of your worries about Motorsport Games potentially restricting licensing of both Le Mans and the circuit, and they have said as much in terms of the 24-hour Le Mans event, that they are sort of discouraging people from setting up their own events of the same name in other games. So that is a worry. But on the flip side, if them collecting all of these different licenses and developers together means that we could potentially get a British touring car game, for example, made by Studio 397, that would be awesome. That would be really good. But at the same time, they also have the developers of the NASCAR games, which have been historically not very good in the last few years, so that we could get a British touring car game made by them. So it could go either way.
It's a double-edged sword, because the problem is, as we've sort of seen with some some of the real series. I'm not talking about British GT, I'm really not. But we have seen examples where a series has been run in partnership with a volunteer type group.
An outside entity.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they've realised, oh, there's money to be made here. They snatch it away, irrespective of what's gone in the past, and then run an inferior project just to make money out of it.
Yeah.
My concern isn't with the developers, so to speak. It is lodged very heavily in the restrictions for other titles.
Mm.
I would hate to see Le Mans be restricted to one title to the detriment of everybody else. You know, this huge community that exists across multiple platforms, all around the globe, across multiple titles, just to benefit one company who wants to have it all.
Yeah, it's profit before the market.
Yeah,
basically the people, the players.
The potential for it to completely misunderstand why this space exists and what it is trying to achieve is mind-boggling. And you look at some of the language of some of the press releases that the ACO put out last year in and around the Le Mans esports event.
Virtual.
And then some of the and similar press releases that have come out in and around the announcement of the event moving forward, and it's hard to see that that's not what they're going to do.
They're very much gearing up. Yeah, exactly. In terms of the language, that's what they appear to be gearing up into doing. And when you consider that prior to the virtual, the 24-hour virtual last year on R Factor 2, the place really to do Le Mans 24 in sim racing, like as close as you could get, was iRacing.
Mm.
Now, I don't know, actually. I was about to say that I don't know whether they would restrict iRacing considering they already have the license for Le Mans. But they might restrict them from calling it the 24 Hours of Le Mans.
And they'll probably also...
From what we've seen.
And they'll probably restrict it from future game releases.
Yeah, well. that's because like say if a Assetto Corsa or something wanted to get Le Mans on, yeah, new licenses would be subject to whatever motorsport games potentially want. So that is a major worry. I think it's different from we saw concerns about, you know, some developers acquiring certain games and other developers. So like EA with Codemasters, for example. It's different from that. It's not necessarily just the potential of this developer getting it, this parent company acquiring the developer and then making the product worse. It's far worse than that, potentially, if they restrict it from being in any other title.
Yeah.
And then you add in the thing that they might, I can't see it happening, but they might make R Factor 2 worse.
But we've seen.
Then you wouldn't even have a comparable thing to go up against it if it does turn bad.
Yeah. And the thing I have to point out, if people think that we're scaremongering or we don't know what we're talking about, this has precedence. You know, the Japanese circuits and Super GT officially only really exist in Gran Turismo. Porsche I'll say years, possibly decades, hadn't had an exclusive license with EA. I think Ferrari did as well at one point. They certainly had an exclusive license with someone else, with someone initially. And if anybody else wanted to have their cars in game, they had to pay extortionate amounts for them.
Yeah.
You know, so this has the potential to actually knock the esports racing community back like a decade. Yeah.
Which is unconceivable considering the growth that esports has had over the last year in particular, for it to be dealt a blow through licensing restrictions of all things.
The problem is a handful of companies over the last 12 months have suddenly realised what a cash cow this can be.
Mm.
And they hadn't.
Yeah, it's a victim of its own success almost.
Yeah, and I don't want to be all doom and gloom and Black Mirror about it, but
it is a potential, and if people, I hope that more people raise this as a potential thing, so that hopefully motorsport games see this and don't restrict.
I know
that would be terrible.
I know I joked earlier on about I don't want anyone from Motorsport Games on the show. But actually, I kind of do. I really want them to come on. I want them to allay our fears. I want them to be able to explain their roadmap for what they want to develop and how they're going about it. And I want them to just tell us what is going on and what we can expect moving forward. So genuinely, yeah, if absolutely. Anyone from Motorsport Games does want to get it, does want to come on the show, you know, we're on a big network here. You know, we're a big platform. You know, if you want to come on and share Motorsport Games plans with the sim racing community at large, please get in touch. And there we go. And just a couple of a small bit of news from Project. I know we said we weren't going to mention it, but we'll throw it in anyway. Project Cars.
Yes, Project Cars 3 have released their latest DLC, the Power Pack. I believe it was leaked a couple of days prior. Basically, the highlight of this pack is four cars. The 1985 Toyota Sprinter Trueno GT Apex just rolls off the tongue. Oh, and it gets better. The 2002 Nissan Silvia Spec R Aero, the 2020 Nissan 370Z, and the 2021 Nissan Z Proto, which I believe is the first time that particular car has actually appeared in the game. So that's pretty cool. The pack costs $7.99. And I believe it will be available for those for free who have the season pass. Also coming in the same update, but not, you don't have to pay for this, everyone gets this, is a new track, the Lake Valley Speedway, which is a fictional racetrack in Utah, of all places. Yeah. It's got an oval, it's got a figure of eight layout, and it's got a road course. Being an oval fan, I went and had a look online at some onboards, and it's not the best track. The oval's fair enough. It's like one half of the oval is Bristol, and the other half is Martinsville. It's strange, but the road course just isn't. It doesn't look that good. It seems as though it's geared up more for drifting.
Well, just go on. Sorry.
So I was just going to say, yeah, so these cars appear to be in the vein of drifting, etc., so it kind of makes sense that they kind of go hand in hand, so.
Yeah. Just on quickly, very quickly, on as obviously time's a bit tight, just want to obviously say we hope everyone's okay at the Ibisu circuit. It was very seriously damaged.
Oh, yes,
very
yeah.
seriously damaged recently. Primarily because you mentioned drifting there.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I've forgotten about that, yeah. Which is a shame. So yeah, that's horrible.
I think there is some funding and all that sort of thing going on to try and get the circuit rebuilt as soon as possible. But yeah, so thoughts with everyone who is involved with that circuit, and we hope that you're up and running again very soon. Brilliant little track, much underrated, and does appear in a few games itself, which is one of the other reasons why I brought it up. Anyway, we should probably move on. Yes, should we talk about? We're gonna have to.
Elephant in the room.
Be cautious of this because I know it's possibly a little bit of a touchy subject for one of us here.
Mm-hmm.
The British GT Esports Championship, stalwart of Tora for the past 6 years.
Mm. 6 years,
and actually. Going a bit further back, basically the whole reason Tora exists, because it was British GT that was the inspiration for Tora all the way back in 2007. So they announced
yesterday
that it is in-house.
Yes, so obviously, during the time of COVID, SRO has been gotten pretty good at running their own esports series in-house. So they decided to bring British GT into their fold so that the same company whose name AKA escapes me at the moment. That's it. So that they oversee all SRO esport activities, which makes sense. The wide scheme of things, but also they've changed the esports championship pretty what's the word I want to use? They changed it a lot since when Ever Tour ran it on Forza.
So the format's a lot different.
The format's so much different. So the short version is this. There will be 40 cars on track. There will be 20 GT3 cars, which will be driven by drivers in the British GT mm-hmm. Championship. GT4 will then be open to the public, but it will be like a hot lapping rival event where only the top 20 will get seats, and then after the first race, the top 10 will be locked in. Ooh. So basically, if you're not if you're not in the top 10, you have to keep qualifying to see if you can get in.
That's none of us racing then.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I think as much as it sucks, because we all have the ties to Taurus, so we're kind of somewhat biased in a little bit of disappointment that the partnership has come to an end. But in my mind, to have the British GT Esports Championship under the SRO Esports banner makes sense, because that they've been they're another Thanos kind of thing. They're amassing all of their titles. It makes sense for them to have it all under one roof. The disappointing thing is the format change for the real disappointment, because it's very exclusive now.
Yes, there's also quite the exclusive prize to go with it. It's a full direct drive Fanatec setup.
Oh wow!
What?
Jeez!
It's a full direct drive Fanatec setup and a VIP. Experience at a British GT event.
I mean, what I hadn't the bit that it is a shame. You said about the exclusivity. What disappoints me a little bit there is the fact that GT3 is closed to the public entirely.
No one can buy that. That's
a bit of a shame, because I'm not being funny, but part of the enjoyment of doing British GT is not being overtaken by quicker people all the time.
No. Can you imagine how terrifying that's going to be watching the multi-class people go through? Or what would be even more terrifying, though, is that obviously some really quick people are going to get in the GT4 cars, and the GT3 drivers they might get from the British GT series in real life to drive the GT3 cars might not be that familiar with sim racing, so they might not be very good.
To the point, I know they'll know how to handle traffic because they do it in real life, but again, in the sim racing world, they might not be that good.
Yeah.
From I saw it in an exchange between our friend Angus Bender and the British GT Twitter account, talking about how the British GT teams themselves are to be basically nominating who's going to be driving for them.
Well, so James Baldwin's doing it then.
Yeah, 100%.
Does he have a ride?
He doesn't have a ride in real life, but if the teams are nominating the drivers, and do they necessarily have to pick their race drivers?
I think they have to pick their race drivers. Announced...
Then someone is signing
ball. They haven't announced the GT3 squad, but Rocket is going to be there because they've announced the GT4 team already.
Yeah, but James has confirmed that he isn't racing already. Yeah, which is dumbfounds me as to why nobody's picked him up.
Worrying.
But
that's strange.
And the other thing that comes to mind, I didn't actually know about the prize. Sure, in my mind, it might be a bit of a sweeping generalization, but the people who are going to be qualifying for this, aren't they likely to have this or a setup that's close to?
Yeah, because
it seems a bit strange.
I mean, being a Fanatec user myself, I did look at the prize. Yeah,
Elite.
I did look at the prize. And I went, out of all of that, the only thing I want is that I'd want is the TD1.
Yeah,
I've got the same pedals, but you know that's just me. But you're right. The thing is, anyone who's going to take it seriously, and people do take it seriously, by gosh, we know that, are already going to be all over this.
What I think that they should have done with this is because we've seen a lot of series have virtual counterparts where they get the real drivers on the sim, and that's great. That's really good. It's really entertaining to watch. But what they should have done is have like a special, a separate series where the real drivers get in and have a go on the sim, and then have the big GT Esports Championship be for the esports drivers, well, not the real racing drivers. Because, not being funny, the real racing drivers get to drive the cars in real life. The esport drivers don't, most of the time. So to have an esports championship as big as the British GT esports championship and have half of it not available to esports drivers,
one of the reasons why the previous series worked so well, I think, is because you had the likes of Alex Reed and Angus taking part. In fact, we had a couple of others as well, if you think about it, albeit in like Harry and whatnot, Harry King. But they were, the whole point was, yes, they were mostly in the upper lobbies, but they were racing with everybody. You know,
yeah,
and that's kind of the thing. We want to see how the real drivers do in a sim racing thing. No, we want to see how the real racing drivers do racing with everybody else. It's the aspirational thing. It's the whole idea of, wow, I'm never going to be able to race this thing for real, but my gosh, I'm in a lobby with Max Verstappen or whoever.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point. That is what this was all about originally. I am a bit disappointed. Don't get me wrong. I'm really pleased they're taking it to the next level. I'm really pleased they're doing it in-house. But they should have done what they did with their Blancpain series last year, where what they had was the real drivers in one and the sim racing lot in another one. If you're going to do it that way, because at least then it means you've got more capacity for real people like you and I to go in and take part in that on that sort of platform. When you limit it to 40 drivers and then realistically limit it to 10 after the first meeting or however it works, you're going to have a rotation of 10 people in a field of 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just not... The balance isn't there.
Yeah. It's imagine the amount of people who are going to try to qualify for this, and, you know, the top 20 might be separated by something like 0.002.
I have pre-registered for it, because you can do that at the moment, pre-registered for the series. I'm not getting in. No chance.
Yeah, there's no way.
I barely scraped when the British GT was at its height with Toro. I barely scraped C Lobby then. You know, I didn't stand a chance. Mm-hmm. So
it is a shame. But one thing it does do, though, is that for the likes of Toro, per se, with them basically scoring with this series, the esports series, basically scoring an own goal in making it so limited, it does open it up to potentially having a more publicly available series. Obviously can't be the British GT esports championship in name, but it could be a nice equivalent there.
It's also Toro is actually running a ACC series starting this.
Oh, are they now?
Yes, starting this weekend.
Well,
apparently Angus is going to be there.
Yeah, so if you want to do some multi-class GT racing and want to drive the GT3 class and not be restricted, why don't you head on over to Toro and sign up and
a little bit
of a plug there, you know.
Oh, boy, it is. Don't get me wrong.
We're so subtle.
Like I said, don't get me wrong.
But as subtle as a black eye
with a certain orange one. Don't get me wrong. I am very pleased that it's taken this up. The other thing that I am very pleased with is they have actually called it Season 7.
Yes, and they're continuing it on, and they are mentioning the fact that Toro have had this championship for the last 6 years, and I genuinely believe that without Toro, British GT wouldn't be so into esports as it is now. I know esports has grown to the point where a lot more people who hadn't paid attention are now, but I think Toro's last 6 years with British GT have done both parties the world of good. And it's a massive shame that the partnership seems to be coming to an end, but there's still so much that Toro can be proud of for what they've accomplished already. Absolutely. So
right, we need to talk about... So speaking of esports, there has actually been some
esports roundup of the week.
My god,
I'm still waiting for someone to audio or to auto tune that.
That's actually the same. He did it the same way as I did it the other week.
I was just copying Harry Hill.
What's better than doing it? What did I say? It's no, German, it's techno. Esports version of a real series that has an esports version too, or something to that effect.
Perfect. It's like a Genesis song.
Largely
incomprehensible.
Prog rock. It's like prog rock. That didn't take 5 minutes to even start. Porsche Esports Super Cup then, Jordan.
Yes, round 6 of the Porsche Esports Super Cup took place at the fantastic Montreal circuit. We do love Montreal, don't we? I must say that the Porsche Esports Super Cup probably has the best calendar of any esports series because they're going to the Nordschleife in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be great. And you know how much I like the Nordschleife. But yeah, Montreal. Josh Rogers entered the event with a pretty large lead in the standings, 89 points in his favour after five rounds, and he was leading by... Yeah, ahead of Mitchell De Jong, who appears to be in every esports series at the moment. The man is quite good. Rogers, once again, didn't quite get pole position, missed out to the American Zach Campbell. But Rogers, in the sprint race, would quickly take the lead and go on to win by just over a second. Which, just over a second in Porsche Esports Super Cup money is quite a lot, because this series is so close. Sebastian Jobe and Zach Campbell would complete the podium in the sprint race with the reverse grid pole going to 8th place, Mitchell De Jong. Who? Sebastian Jobe.
No, that's not how you say it. No, that's Sebastian not how you say
it. It's Sebastian Jobe.
Sebastian Jobe!
This is a reference that's confusing me. Yes, I was trying to. So the reverse grid pole went to 8th place finisher Mitchell De Jong, which could have been really good for him because with Rogers starting down in 8th, it was a good opportunity for him to claim back some points. However, he would ultimately only close in by 2 points over the course of the round due to some of the carnage. The absolute carnage of the feature race. There were multiple pileups on the first lap. I believe even Rogers was almost involved in like two of them. It was quite. Do you remember the V8 Supercars race that took place at Montreal last year and the memes that were made of that? It was kind of similar to that. There were cars flipping everywhere. It was great. Rogers actually fell from 8th to 12th in the initial stages whilst avoiding incidents. And the top three. What's the PC way of saying it? They said goodbye to the rest of the field. they made the most of their grid spots, and basically fourth on back all had to check up for incidents, so the top three wouldn't be caught in the end. I think it was something like 20 lap race or something like that, and the top three just could not be caught. In the end, it was De Jong would win. He managed to hold off a late charge from Kevin Ellis Jr. to take the win with I'm going to say this name wrong. Tatala? I believe that's right. I'm doing a Ben. I didn't put the pronunciation in. Tatala would take third, with Campbell taking fourth, about a couple of seconds off of the leading three. So there was quite a big gap there. Job would come home in sixth. Rogers managed to recover to seventh after being 12th. So it was quite a good recovery, but nevertheless, probably not what De Jong was hoping for in terms of clawing back points, because now heading into round 7, which is at Spa on the 13th, there's still an 87-point gap between Rogers and De Jong. So it's looking good for Rogers to take another championship. And the other parties are going to have to hope for some carnage to try and catch him, because it's quite a sizable gap. And then between De Jong and like 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, it's all really close. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. Also, as we've come to see from Porsche Esports, the All-Star race was on the support bill, with Emily Jones once again putting on a bit of a clinic, really. She qualified on pole and won the sprint race quite comfortably, ahead of Javier Sanchez and Dan Sosolsky. The reverse grid pole would go to Maxime MXM. And the feature race win would go to the guest driver, which I thought was a little bit unfair who they picked as the guest driver, as it was Lawrence Van Thor. So, yeah, that's not exactly... That's like putting, like having an amateur boxing match and putting Mike Tyson in as a guest.
I was going to say, All right, guys, time for a game of pickup football. Who do you have on quarterback? Tom Brady.
What? So Van Thor would take the win with Sosolsky and Jones completing the podium. Emily Jones has a convincing lead in the All-Star Racing Series. And, I would put good money on that continuing.
And in the last minute of the show, eNASCAR.
Oh, God, in the last minute. Third round of the championship took place at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. It was prior to this race, they'd managed to go caution-free, which when you consider they had a Daytona race, is quite impressive. However, once the floodgate opened, the water came in. It was caution after caution after caution.
Yes.
Eventually,
for about 15 minutes the other night, and I think I saw at least two cautions.
Yeah, and that would have been quite a low number for how many. I lost count of how many there were. In the end, it would come down to a battle between the four Exet Racing Ford of Ryan Loser and the 17 of Stephen Wilson, the Roush Fenway racing car. They had a really good battle when the race finally settled down and got into a green flag rhythm. There was a little bit of a threat to that battle with a couple of drivers staying out to try and complete the race on one less pit stop. But the likes of, who was it? Zach Novak, Malik Ray, Jake Matheson, and Blade Witt. That's very a great cool. name for a very race cool. driver. All had to pit inside the final eight laps for a splash of fuel. So that eventually left the four of Loser to take the win, which was actually his fourth win at Las Vegas in the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series in the last 5 years. So it's fair to say he's pretty good here. Wilson would take second ahead of Casey Kerwin in third. And the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series will return with round four at the virtual Atlanta Motor Speedway on Tuesday, March 16th. We should also very briefly mention the iRacing Bathurst 12 Hours that took place. And the top split was won by Enzo Benito and Max Verstappen for Team Redline. And they actually had a lap on the whole field. So, yeah, they're pretty good.
Verstappen doing Verstappen things.
Yeah.
And on that traditional bombshell, it's time to end. I've been Matt Hunter. Jordan has been entertaining and informative.
Question mark?
And Ben has been very restrained with his new soundboard. Thank you ever so much for listening. It's the Americans' turn next week, so see you in two. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.